girl. I knew that I would not. I feel good. I knew that I would not. So good, so good. I got a year.
All right, we have turned the half hour. We've had a little fun. We paid some bills, and now we're back with Jean-Louis Gounchard. Did I still get it right?
You still blew it.
I told him I'm going to take me six times, and in the end, you're just going to say it yourself.
I think we're on seven.
All right. Well, you're the guy that keeps up. You're the compliance manager. So he's the senior managing principal at Silver Portal Capital, LLC. He's got lots of years in investment banking. Really smart guy. Very well connected. And we're going to talk some more about, let's talk about real estate investing foreigners into the United States. You were a private banker for many years with Bank of America in Latin America. You were bringing up the money, helping them invest here, giving them advice. What's going on with all that? We're here in Miami. You're in California. Different road, same folks?
I'll tell you what we've seen. You know, I've been in Miami now for a couple of days, and it's truly remarkable, you know, what we're seeing sort of in the city. Never seen such tremendous growth. This looks like a city that has an incredible and impeccable future. The amount of growth here and the amount of infrastructure that's being built is truly spectacular. A lot of that, you know, we believe is foreign capital that's coming in. We think that's, you know, pretty smart investment, you know, what a lot of people are making at this point in time. A lot of foreigners, as you know, as we've spoken about, Jim, have a lot of their money parked in, you know, very low yielding CDs and bonds of, you know, foreign entities, you know, where the risk reward is substantially less than what they could obtain in, you know, traditional real estate investments or other investments. And so, you know, we think the opportunities for those individuals to be able to invest in, you know, products like we discussed, you know, DSTs or, you know, or triple net properties or, you know, some of the growth that you're seeing in around here in some innovative structures is certainly, you know, unique. Clearly, you know, most foreign investors, you know, have to deal with FIRPTA issues and FATCA issues. You know, without getting too technical in the terms, these are, you know, reporting.
You're excused, by the way.
Thank you. These are foreign, you know, issues that, you know, that foreign investors have to do that, you know, certainly add to their potential returns. But, you know, there are ways to structure around that. You know, there's innovative structures that, you know, very many institutional investors have been using for quite some time that, you know, we're creating, you know, making that available to individual investors, you know, to come in through, you know, without making, again, too complicated feeder structures or, you know, other types of instruments that people can have at the same access, as I said once before, you know, the same type of quality properties that some of the largest institutional investors, in, you know, are investing in the United States.
Now, so a foreigner can get into these. You have good programs. You have good relationships with them. And most of the times, these are family offices, and you have an excellent track record with family offices. So when you're doing all this stuff, typically, who's working with you to access the families? Because I've got to believe that they're surrounded and insulated by a whole lot of consultants.
Well, you know, I think people have figured out over time is they want to do business, you know, with people that are, you know, honest, that are ethical. And the people that are, you know, that have been around for a long time that have a good track record. You know, fortunately, in our particular case, I've had the great fortune of having worked with a lot of incredible families and families talked to other families and groups talked to other groups and, you know, had the, you know, as I said, great fortune to be able to work with, you know, quite a few. And so that has led to, you know, some great success in a lot of things that we've actually been doing. But more importantly, I think we tend to seek out sort of opportunities where, you know, people want to be part of that, you know, part of the growth, very similar to what you're seeing in Miami. You know, we came down here to look at, you know, sort of is this a market, you know, that we should be spending a lot more time in? You know, how do we participate in the growth? How do we help fuel sort of the growth? How do we, you know, in fact, you know, participate, be on, you know,
be here on the show, get the word out, meet some different people here in town. Let's hold on for a minute because a guy like you just doesn't parachute into town to be on. Well, I know you would just to be on my show, but to meet with a couple of old friends for dinner. You must have come here on business. I don't want you to give away everything that's your trade secrets, but generically, who's the type of person that you would fly across the country to meet with other than, of course, me?
As I said, we work with a lot of very, very high quality institutional caliber real estate operators. And these are developers or these are people that acquire real estate and operate and manage real estate, you know, very, very effectively. But for the fact that they're private, you know, these are public company equivalents. And so these are individuals that invest hundreds of millions of dollars in real estate on an annual or biannual, you know, basis. We came here specifically at the request of a couple of groups, you know, to really get a feel. You know, they told us that a lot of things were happening in Miami. You know, we had been here before. I lived here for a period of time, as you well know.
No. You said your wife lived here and you lived on an airplane going to Latin America. I listen. Can't say your name, but don't forget a word you said.
That's exactly right. And so, you know, spent a lot of time here in Miami. And I'll tell you, it's truly, as I said before, remarkable to see what's happening in this town.
My hometown. I absolutely love it. You couldn't get me out of here with a shoehorn. You know what I mean.
And so this has been, the number of different investors, you know, that have come into this market, both individuals and institutional. But this is really becoming much, I believe, sort of more of an institutional market. So I think that investors, you know, serious investors are beginning to take note. As you know, after the market rolled back in 2008, 2009, the people were running for sort of the exits in a lot of different towns. Miami wasn't very different, as I think everyone experienced. And a lot of people flocked to sort of the bigger, well-known towns, Boston, New York, Los Angeles, San Francisco. I think what you're seeing now is, that game is pretty much, it's never going to be played out in those towns, but those towns are very, very expensive. But you start seeing sort of a certain amount of critical mass that's being built in this town, and this town is really starting to show us some signs that, this is going to be not only sort of speculative growth, but this is going to be real serious growth and infrastructure that's going to be here for a lot of years to come.
Well, I think that it's very important, and my favorite map, I saw it many years ago, and I keep it in my mind's eye every day, is the map of the world that the Beacon Council, the local business recruitment group, put out many years ago. And it shows that multi-hemispheric map of the world where, like, they take the globe and they stretch it and make it flat, not to be Christopher Columbus, but flat.
Yeah.
Well, I guess it was Columbus Day on Monday. Anyway, and when you look at Miami, it's in the center of the world.
Really?
Yes.
I thought your office was the center of the world.
No, my office is the center of the universe. You were confused. We have much bigger gravitational pull in my office.
Of course you do. Of course you do.
And so, but high five to you. I'll give you 25 cents later.
Thank you.
And with the Panama Canal and this post-Panamax, they'll be stopping here on their way to Savannah or Jacksonville. They'll be breaking bulk. It'll be a fabulous place. But I believe that Miami is the city of the century, much the way London, Singapore, Hong Kong, San Francisco, New York, Los Angeles, they've all had their times. And their times may still yet be here. But Miami's time has come. And I'm not selling condos. Yeah. I'm not selling the dream. I'm commenting on what I see. On what I see in downtown Miami, what I see in the newspaper, what I see on public transportation that I occasionally take, what I see when I speak to people in the restaurants that are fancy and the restaurants where I'm standing in line to pick up my burger. We're all pulling together and going in the same direction, and it's a wonderful thing. Oh, if we could only get the political leadership in Washington and Tallahassee to help us out, but this isn't a political show. So, JL, what do you think is the real trend in global finance that's coming together to help move your business forward, because you're taking advantage of a whole lot of different things?
I would say, much of what we've been talking about. In fact, if you look at what the institutional investors are doing, and a lot of what's really happening here in Miami, you were seeing, some very large shifts in asset allocations towards real estate and infrastructure. I think, Miami's a huge beneficiary of that shift. I think you're going to continue to see that. I think that's one of the biggest issues. The big institutions, like individuals, don't like to deal with a lot of volatility. They don't like to deal with uncertainty. They want to be able to satisfy their income requirements and their future payouts in the pension funds. And so in this particular case, I think you're going to continue to see assets move into the real estate asset class. And when I talk about assets, money and funds in a very, very significant way. I would say that that's one of the bigger trends that we're seeing. I would say that many of the institutions that we've known have gone from allocations roughly from 7% to 10%, in certain cases 15%. There's institutions out there that say you're not really enlightened unless you have like a 20% allocation to real estate.
Hold on, take a breath, because I remember in business school in the mid-80s, they were saying they were at 2% going to 7%. So, wow, I know what happened with real estate when they moved their allocation needle before. It's going to be great. We've only got a minute left in this segment, and I know you're going to be speaking about this to a big group of folks. Tell us a little bit about how you're going to be speaking to our sponsors on the show soon.
Effectively, we work and have a very nice relationship and association with the CCIM group.
My favorites.
And CCIM is an incredible organization. We happen to like them actually quite a bit and be part of that, because they're all about education. They're all about making sure they do the right thing. They're all about making sure that their people follow a certain level of standards. It's the highest in the industry, in the commercial real estate brokerage industry. So we couldn't be more thrilled to be affiliated with such an incredible organization, and couldn't be more thrilled to look and continue to help educate sort of their constituency to really understand much more. But they do an incredible job in that aspect.
We're going to be right back after this short break. Jail and I are going to kind of go through real quickly the types of things we talked about early in the show while you were in the elevator or stuck in traffic or being cut off by that guy. So if you missed some of the concepts that we've been referring to, we're going to go over them quickly. So we'll do that. Stick around. Get your pencil ready because we'll be back after this.